Well, there's a very important date coming up in April that I'm thrilled to share with all of you. If you have your phone on you, you might want to take it out so you can put this into your calendar. The date is April 5th. It's a very special day. It is, of course, the day that the newest Star Wars movie comes out on Blu-ray and DVD. And I know each of you are going to be lining up at Target so you can get your copy of this wonderful piece of masterpiece of work. So April 5th is that day. I love the new Star Wars movie, in case you don't know. To me, it was everything a Star Wars movie should be. It reflected the old, all the great things from the original 1977 Star Wars movie. It had all those themes, but it put it in a new and fresh way with new characters and just a wonderful, not a remake, it was more than a remake, but it was like a love letter to the old Star Wars. It was just a wonderful, wonderful movie, a great marriage of the old into the new. This passage from Isaiah 43 talks about the old things that God has done and also the new things God has done. But the problem is that the Israelites cannot get past the old things. It's like they've seen the original Star Wars, and there's nothing that could ever happen to replace that. Just might as well accept the old, accept it for what it is. Nothing new is ever going to come out. The Israelites are stuck in the old things of God. But now, we have to say, though, that the old actions of God are fantastic things. What they're specifically remembering is God's great work when He freed them from captivity in Egypt. If you have your text in front of you, I'm looking at the Isaiah passage, and I'm looking at verses 16 and 17, first of all. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Israel, the people of God, found themselves in slavery in Egypt. And for 400 years, they cried out that God would rescue them. And so we have the story of God's great rescue out of Egypt. We have the story of the 10 plagues, where God brought down miraculous powers upon Egypt and upon the people of God and showed how mighty He is. And then after the 10 plague, the people are released by Pharaoh and they find themselves up against the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's mighty army on the other, and God fights for them. He separates the Red Sea, and the people of God pass through the waters on dry ground, and then God swallows up the armies of Pharaoh with the remaining water. He frees them. And throughout the Old Testament, God identifies Himself as the God of Exodus. I am the Lord who rescued you out of Egypt. And this passage in Isaiah, God is introduced. He said, Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, and the Lord is the one who did these things. The Lord that speaks now is the one who rescued you out of Egypt. The mighty waters, the armies. You remember this God. God wants to be remembered as this God because this is the God who saves, who brings people out of slavery. But there's a problem. And we see this starting to come about in verse 18. God Himself says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." The people of Israel have this fantastic history of God rescuing them, of God being the God of Exodus. But they are stuck there. Their God now is a God who acted in the past. And at this time when Isaiah is bringing them his word, they are locked away in exile, banished from their promised land, their temple destroyed. They are barely a people. They are just hanging on to whatever identity they can. And their despair is so great that God is only a God who acts in the past. They can't see God doing anything new. They are stuck. God is the one who once saved them. But now, who is He? We can become trapped like this too, where we look at Scripture and we look at the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, for instance, where Jesus heals the sick, where He does fantastic, wonderful things, where He says, I have come to bring freedom to the captive, to bind up the brokenhearted. And we can feel like God is still a God of the past. We have our brokenheartedness, maybe because of the people in our life who have passed on, maybe because marriages are not what we want them to be. Our children are not who we want them to be, and we are brokenhearted. And we can't see a way out of the mess. We have heard how God does things for people in Scripture, but we can't see how the God of Scripture can work in our lives now. And so we get stuck remembering. Now, remembrance can serve hope. It can build hope in us. But it can also replace hope altogether and keep us in the past. And that's where the people of God are right now in this a text from Isaiah. They're remembering the things of God. They know what God has done in the past, but they can't see past it. All God is now is for them a remembrance. And so God tells them in verse 18, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see what I'm doing? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. At one time, God made a way through the sea for them to pass through. Now, as they are in the wilderness of exile, God will make a way there too. He's doing a new thing, but it looks a lot like the old. At one time, God made a path in the mighty waters. Now, God will make rivers in the desert, a path for life-giving water to come. God brings life to where the people are. He's doing a new thing. God is always at work. When we are broken, when it looks like nothing can fix whatever we're in, marriage, kids, work, whatever it is, when it looks like nothing can fix it, God is still at work. He is always bringing something new. And the wonderful thing about Scripture is that we have an idea of what new will look like, because God has done it before. God is and always will be the God of Exodus, the one who binds up the brokenhearted, brings the captive out of imprisonment, and brings them to freedom. All this, of course, points towards Jesus Christ, the one who declared from Isaiah that he has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring healing to those who are his. He desires to be life. He is the life-giving water. He is the bread from heaven. He is the way to life, the way in the wilderness, the path in the desert. He goes to the cross to set those who are in exile to their sin free from their captivity. He pays his blood for you and I, that through it we might have forgiveness of sins, that through it we would have his Spirit living in us, working in us to be better, to have the good fruit as branches bound to him. And in that good fruit comes the things that bring about wholeness, health, peace, life, unbrokenness. God is still the God of Exodus, the one who has come to make a way through your deserts, through your wilderness, to bring life-giving water to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for you. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, the God of the Exodus then and now, bind up our broken hearts. Set us free from what holds us captive. Release us from prison. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and through whom we receive the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, through whom we receive your Spirit, who works in us to bring things to completion, work in us and bind us up, make us whole and heal us again, and set us free. We pray this in your name. Amen.